Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning. And let's ask the Lord this morning to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have, Lord, just to draw our time and attention to you and to your written word. And I pray that you'd help us. Lord, you've told us in your word, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You've told us also, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You've told us, Lord, that in your word, by faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you've instructed us that above all things to take a shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And Lord, we come to you this morning and ask you to allow your word to, Father, find lodging in our hearts, our minds, our conscience. And Lord, that it would enable us to see what it is that we need to see. And help us to become, Lord, what you desire us to be. We ask your blessings upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I am in the book of Proverbs. I've been going for some time now through the book of Proverbs, looking for biblical principles for practical living. It's been my argument, if you want to use that word, or contention, or my thought, that we as Christians, we need to be careful that we live by principles. Most everybody, if not everybody, knows that it's easy to overreact to something. When our emotions, maybe when perhaps we get angry and we end up reacting instead of responding. In my mind, the way I look at it, I think a reaction is what you do by the seat of your britches, if you would. In other words, by your feelings, by your emotions, the heat of the moment. But a response is something that has been thought out, planned, and is based upon a principle. And we as Christians, we ought to be responding to circumstances in life as opposed to reacting. In other words, very simply, we ought to be using biblical principles. We ought to be confining our actions within the parameters of the scriptures, of thus saith the Lord, instead of acting outside of that and just sort of doing what we want to do or what we feel like doing. And that's easily said, but not as easily done, because in the heat of the moment, the flesh rears its ugly head up, as we say, and we get angry, we get overjoyous, or whatever. Our emotions can swing from one end of the spectrum to the other very quickly. But we need to learn and at least attempt to live by principles, and of course, we need to let the Word of God to determine our principles for us. So that's what we're doing. We're using the book of Proverbs. Obviously, there's a lot of principles that are not just in Proverbs, but I'm sticking to the book of Proverbs. But I hope that we'll take this and run with it even in our own personal lives, looking for biblical principles. What is it that I found in Scripture today that I could put into practice today? You know, God's Word is to be used. We're to live by it, and we're to be instructed through it. And our lives are changed because of it. And may God allow that to take place. Proverbs 21, verse number 14, the Bible says, "A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath." Now, God here has given us a very easy principle to understand. As a matter of fact, many perhaps have even stumbled upon it just by observation. But how true it is, but unfortunately, though, how true it is that we don't take advantage of this principle. A gift in secret pacifieth anger. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 6, "Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts." God has designed us as human beings that we respond to acts of kindness. Now, I know somebody may be saying, "Well, I know somebody who doesn't." I know that, realize there's always an exception to a rule from time to time. But I believe all of us at some point in some way are affected by acts of kindness. And we all have times where somebody gets angry with us. And we all have times where sometimes we're the reason for the anger. We've done something that has caused the grievance. We've done something amiss, and we're a part of the problem because we are the problem. And well, now we need to fix it. We need to do something. We need to seek forgiveness. We need to seek reconciliation. And so God says a gift in secret pacifieth anger. Here's a very simple principle. Maybe you're listening today and you've got a friend or a family member, maybe a spouse, maybe a coworker, something's happened and there's strife between you. Well, God says, here's a good principle. You want to help fix the solution? A gift in secret pacifies anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. We go in our Bibles and we look at some examples. We think of Jacob and Esau. We know the conflict that they had, the deception that took place. Esau is angry, and they've gone their separate ways, and now they're about to reunite. Jacob's heading back, and he's a little fearful of what Esau is going to do to him. And as he begins his journey back, he derives this plan of how to appease the wrath of Esau. And the Bible says there in the book of Genesis 32, "And say ye moreover," Jacob says, "Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept me." So he, Jacob, knowing that Esau is likely to be bent out of shape over all that's taken place, he sends before him, before actually Jacob gets there, a present. He sends some gifts, and the purpose was to appease. And he actually uses the word, for he said, I will appease him with this present. You know, God has given us just a real great opportunity here to solve some problems. And it's by offering or giving of a gift to somebody who we've angered. Later on, it says, "And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and it's interesting, and Esau took it. Now Esau wasn't hurting. He was not hurting. God had blessed him. As a matter of fact, he had even presented the argument, "I have enough, keep what you have." But it's interesting to know that Esau capitulated, if you would, and he took it. In other words, he was willing to take the present that Jacob offered, and it was Jacob's mindset to use this as a way of appeasing the anger, if you would, to pacify the anger that Esau would have had towards Jacob. And Jacob used that. He used it wisely, and God blessed it and used it. We look in our Bibles in the book of 1 Samuel, and we look at the story of Abigail and Nabal and David. And there was conflict between Nabal and David. Now, Nabal had sort of blown it. He didn't have the best of attitudes, to say the least. Now, Abigail seemingly was a little bit more wiser than Nabal, maybe perhaps by a good bit. Nabal had blown it. Abigail found out. She knew, boy, we're in trouble. And so, without her husband knowing this, she sends a gift toward and to David, trying to appease his wrath. And it's recorded for us in that portion of Scripture. The Bible says, "And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself on my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal." Boy, I tell you what, Abigail was able to appease the wrath of David because of the gifts and the wisdom that she used at pacifying his anger. Nabal didn't have a clue, and he would have paid the price, so to speak. But Abigail understood the price and the value of a gift in secret, and she used that. And so God's given us just a real simple principle here. You've got conflict with somebody, buy them a gift. Give it to them. A gift in secret pacifieth anger. Every once in a while, I'll be in Walmart or someplace like that, and I'll see a guy go through with perhaps a dozen of roses. And I don't know this guy from Adam, as we say. I've never met him. And I look at him, I said, "Boy, you must be in big trouble to have to buy all those flowers." And usually that helps us strike that person. He'll give a grin, and usually the cashier sort of get a chuckle out of it. And we all understand that though he may not be getting out of trouble, but we all understand what sometimes we do. when we're in trouble, we're having a problem, we buy a gift. Well, where did we get that idea? How does it work? Well, God's given us here just a real good clue. I mean, it's sort of like the Taco Bell bell coming through the window. It's just there. Buy gift. It helps to pacify anger. Now, that means you have to be bigger than the problem. You have to be bigger than your temper. You have to be bigger than your hurt feelings and seek reconciliation. May God help us to see the wisdom in this, and may God help us to take advantage of this principle and perhaps even put it into practice today. Let's move over to verse number 21. The Bible says, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor." It's true in our life, and I think most of us understand this, that generally what we go looking for in life, we find. And I think most of us would agree that often when we find that which we're looking for, often we find more than what we were really looking for. And I think it holds true either in the pursuit of good or evil. Simply, if you've got this idea, you're looking for trouble. Somebody's looking for trouble. Well, you can almost guarantee they're going to find it. And far more often than not, it seems like they end up finding more trouble than they were really looking for. But it's also true when you go looking for good. You go looking for to do a good deed or to help somebody. And you're looking for that. You're looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. And oftentimes, God allows that effort to be found in the sense of finding even more good than perhaps you had originally intended to find. That word followeth means to run after, to chase, to put to flight. You're running after. You're chasing good. You're chasing righteousness and mercy. God says you'll find life, righteousness, and honor. Matthew Henry says this. He says, "What is it to make religion our business? It is to follow after righteousness and mercy, not to content ourselves with easy performances, but to do our duty with the utmost care and pains as those that are pressing forward and in fear of coming short." You are urgently looking for good. God says, "Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In Romans chapter 2, verse 7 through 10, the Bible says, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, they get eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, God says they get indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." So here's a very simple principle this morning. God says that, you know, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy, that person ends up findeth life, righteousness, and honor. He ends up finding more than he was looking for. And I think it works in both ways. And here's the principle this morning. We ought to go looking for some good this morning, amen? We ought to go looking to do some good. We ought to go looking for righteousness. And God says if we'll do that, if we'll follow after it, we'll run after it, we'll chase after righteousness and mercy, God says you'll find life, righteousness, and honor. Now, I tell you what, it doesn't take too much to figure out that's a good idea. I mean, that's a good deal. I mean, that's an excellent deal. I mean, how foolish would we be not to take advantage of that? Well, God said, here's a principle. You want life, righteousness, and honor? Go chasing after righteousness and mercy. Go looking for it. And God says you'll find more than even what you were bargaining for. And that's a good principle. May we also take the warning, if we're going to look for trouble, you can be assured you're probably about to find more than you were looking for, and it won't be pleasant. So God help us this morning to take these two principles, put them into practice. Two good principles. Two good principles. May God have us to have the wisdom and the discernment to make a practical application this morning. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.